study in Jeremiah about Jeremiah's friends on Tuesday evening. And I think the time of Tuesday evening before that, he spoke and gave a little outline and introduction to the book of Jeremiah, which we've been enjoying. This morning, we'd like to look into Luke chapter 22, please. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. I believe the last time we were together, we were looking at the Lord at the Last Supper and thinking of those names of the cups and how significant they are. Nothing in the Word of God is insignificant as we read it. And in verse 39 of Luke 22, it says, "And he, Jesus, came out and went as he was wont," or as he normally did, "to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he was in at that place, he said to them, 'Pray that you enter not into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.'" And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning as we slowly move through Luke chapter 22. We have this coming before us that Psalm 22, that Isaiah 53, Psalm 69, Deuteronomy 21, all these prophecies are about to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Someone has commented that all the plans of prophecy past are coming to be fulfilled. And the Lord Jesus, as he normally did, as he was wont, as he needed to, as was part of his daily routine, he went to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him there. And when he was in that place, he said, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And when he left them a little bit, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down. Someone has said, "You touch the sky when your knees hit the ground." And we'd like to think a little bit this morning about the importance of a daily devotional. If it was important for the Lord Jesus, God incarnate, to have time alone with his heavenly Father, how much more important is it for you and for me? And I suppose I said that wrong, because it's not more important, it's this equal value of importance. But if the Lord Jesus needed to spend time with his Father, you and I need to spend time with our Heavenly Father. And not just for the sake of spending time with him, but actually seeking his face. In the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, we have what sometimes we call the Daniel's preparation to receive the vision that he received later on in Daniel. It's probably the most important vision given for the Gentile church, you and me, or to the church in general, about future events, about the 70 weeks. And it wasn't by accident that Daniel received that prophecy. He was prepared to see it. And it says in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 9 that Daniel sought and he set his face to seek God. Now that's a little bit different than praying. It's a little bit different than reading God's word. Well, I thought praying and reading God's word, I thought that was seeking God. Well, it could be, But sometimes, every now and then, hopefully not too often, sometimes our prayers, sometimes our Bible readings become sort of religious rites. And we're just reading them to read them. We pick up our daily bread downstairs, and we want to read the Bible through in a year, so we know that we have to read the Bible for 15 minutes every day in order to get through the whole Bible in a year. And so we can cross it off our list. We've done that. We've prayed. We've done our religious duty. And sometimes in our lives, it's even hard for us to do that. But be sure that you should never try to work God into your schedule. You need to work your schedule around God. It's a big difference, isn't it? Oh, I need to find time to do my devotional. I'm so busy with school, I'm so busy with work, I'm so busy with piano, I'm so busy with homework, I'm so busy with... And we've missed the entire point of life, beloved. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 17 and verse 3, he said, "This is eternal life, that they know you," speaking about the Father, the true God, the living God, and that they know the Son, that they know me who you've sent. And if we miss that, we've missed the whole entire point of life, beloved. There's a famous book, I think it was written in the early 80s, not remembering because I didn't have a chance to look it up because I don't have my library with me as we travel. But there was a man from Regent College named J.I. Packer, and he wrote a book called Knowing God. It's a brilliant book. Not quite as brilliant as this book, but it teaches the importance about knowing God. Not just being religious, not just reading the Bible, not just praying, but actually when you're praying, you're finding God, because there's a mystery in seeking God, and when you look for God, you know what? He finds you. It's an odd thing. I like to tell the story of when the girls were little and we'd play hide and seek. And I'd hide, and I'd try to hide really well. And they'd say something like, "Daddy, we can't find you." And you know what I would do? Stay quiet. What an awful old man they got. But the girls, when they hid, I could see them there. And I would just walk right by. And then I would say, "Girls, I can't find you." And you know what they did? They would jump up and they would shout out, "Here we are!" And beloved, that's what God is like. Because God delights to be found by you. You seek him and you shall be found by him, we read in the scriptures. When you seek him with all your heart, not just when it's time to read my chapters today. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and all your hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And your first job each morning consists of shoving it all back and listening to God's voice, letting that other, stronger, quieter life flow in." Isn't that a neat quote? They all come rushing in. "I got to do this. I got to do that." Just like wild animals would rush in. And your first job is to shove it all aside. To be like the psalmist when he writes, "Early in the morning will I seek you." Sometimes it's a very difficult thing to do. I learned a lesson from a brother. His name was Ben Eiler. He was a missionary in Zambia and South Africa and different places. And when I visited him, he asked me, well, what time do you wake up? And I says, well, usually around 6, somewhere around there. I don't like alarm clocks. I really detest alarm clocks. So my body automatically wakes up at 6, whether I have anything to do or not. And that's when I do my quiet time. And Ben says to me, oh, I get up at 4. Every morning at 4. So I'll see you at 6, he said. So I actually got up at 5 minutes after 6. And by the time I got out of my pajamas and I got my clothes on and I went out, there was a hot pot of coffee sitting there. The lights were turned on. There was some toast made, but there was no Ben to be found. And at 8 o'clock, Ben came out of his room and I said, Ben, I thought I was going to see you at 6 o'clock. And he says, well, you weren't here at 6 o'clock. I said, well, I was here at 5 after 6. Well, you weren't here at 6 o'clock. You see, in Zambia, 6 o'clock's the time when people are allowed to knock on the door. And so if you didn't have your time with God in by the time people knocked on the door, you weren't going to get it. And so I get up at 4, and if somebody knocks on the door at 6, I'm ready to go. And if not, I go back to bed. You weren't here at 6, so I went back to bed. But you see, he took that time to seek God early in the morning. The psalmist would write in Psalm 46, he would say, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes, beloved, in the hustle and the bustle of life, it's hard to be still. It's hard to get your mind to a place where you can be still and know that He is God. It's something very important. Jesus went apart and separated Himself. He took His disciples with Him, and then He went another stone's throw from them. It was an important thing for Him to be alone with His Father. He says, when you pray, you don't pray like the other people pray, like the hypocrites pray. They like to pray and be seen. They like to go on the corners of the streets. They like to be in the synagogues, in those prominent places, and they pray to be seen of men. Well, I tell you, he said, they got the reward. They got what they wanted out of prayer. What did they want out of their prayer? To be seen. Were they seen? Yeah. What a waste of time. He could just walk down the road and be seen. You just jump out in front of people and yell, boo, and they'll take notice of you and you'll be seen by them. What a waste of a prayer. That's all you want in a prayer is to be seen. What? And I you'll understand, I hope, what I'm going to say here. Sometimes when you and I pray, we pray for the result. Now, it's better than wanting to be seen, because at least there's a better motive behind it, that you want something good to happen. But it's still not the best reason to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, you go into secret and you seek your Father's face. And your Father who sees, your Father who hears in secret, He'll reward you. In that same chapter, and in chapter 6, I think it's 14 times the word Father comes up. And that whole chapter about when you're giving, when you're praying, when you're fasting, in other words, when you're doing your religious stuff. It's not about doing religious stuff. It's about finding your Father. That's why it's repeated so many times. When you fast, don't shrivel up your face. Don't go like a goldfish and pretend you're hungry. Don't go, oh, can you hear my stomach? I'll put the microphone close to my stomach so you can hear it when it's gurgling. When you're giving, don't blow your trumpet. You don't let even your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You just do it in secret. You do it with the Father. When Paul writes about giving, he says what God's put on your heart. Doesn't say give a tithe. Doesn't say give a tenth. It doesn't say give a fifth. It doesn't say, it says what God puts on your heart. How do you do that if you never pray? If you're never still and knowing God? Giving is not something automatic. It's something, it's a religious exercise, if we can use that word, where we're communing with God and God with us. And he puts something on your heart and he puts something on our heart. On my heart. It's all part of the devotional in the morning. When all those wild animals and the things we have to do today come charging at us. And we set them aside to find God. Jesus would go apart. Paul would write to the Colossians a little bit before where we were reading this morning. He would say, set your mind on the things that are above. Now, if you never think of things above, how do you set your mind on things above? If you don't take the time to think about the Lord Jesus, if you don't take the time to pray, if you're not taking the time to read the scriptures, how do you possibly set your mind on things above? So that you're heavenly useful. Because the Lord's conception of work is not that we work for God, but that God works through you and through me. That's how God works. So we need to spend time in prayer. And we need to spend time in God's Word. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Paul would say, how would I know that you're not supposed to covet unless the Bible said, don't covet? How would you know if something was a sin or not? If it was God's will or not, if the Bible didn't say it? We'd never know. We look around us in this world today. What would our neighbors teach us about God? If we were to go onto my street in Mexico, you know, you'd never know that adultery is not God's will. You'd never ever know that. Out of all the neighbors on my street, there are two of them, besides us, that are in their first marriage. Most of the ladies have had three or four husbands who haven't really been their husband. They're just living with them. I probably know way too many men, more than 100, who have families with more than one woman. You'd never know adultery is bad if you looked at my neighbors in Mexico. You'd never know that stealing was bad if you looked at my neighbors. You'd never know that lying is bad if you look at my neighbors. But when we hide God's word in our hearts, that's when you know and that's when I know what sin is. And we hide it in our hearts so we won't sin against God. We don't want to hurt him and offend him. Jesus would say over and over again, have you not read? And it doesn't mean just to read it through, because I'm pretty sure the Pharisees and the priests, they read it. But it didn't get past their ears. It went in one ear and out the other ear. There was a sign, I guess, on their earring that says, space for rent, cheap. And it just goes in and out the other side. Blessed is the man who reads and keeps God's word. John would write in the book of Revelation. On his law will I meditate day and night, wrote the psalmist. Because his delight is in the Lord. And it's all about our delight being in the Lord. It's about knowing what we should do in our lives. We sometimes sing, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," Psalm 119, verse 105 says. It's something special. And if it was so important for the Lord Jesus to spend time with his Father, it must be important for you, and it must be important for me to get up early and to read. One of the encouraging things that happens when we're here is Wednesday night Bible study. And I haven't been to all the Wednesday night Bible studies, but I've been to a few. And one of the things that encourages me is the questions that are asked. And sometimes when they ask questions, when you ask questions, sometimes my very first thought is not what the answer to the question is. Sometimes my very first thought to the question is, how in the world did they ever notice that? And that encourages me because it tells me that some people are thinking about what God's word says and what it means and what their implications are. But maybe they don't have the whole understanding of Scripture to figure out the consequences and the implications of it all. But they're noticing those things and they're asking those questions. And they're challenging my mind, and I suppose they challenge Eric's mind and Harold's mind, and they challenge us to see how well we know our God and how well we can explain him and what he's doing. It's a marvelous thing. And so, beloved, taking time to be with our Lord, to be still and to know that he is God, to wake up in the morning and push everything aside, and having our day revolve around God and not God revolving around our day. To seek God and let him find us. That we live that victorious life not because we have any power in ourselves, but when you give yourself to God, when I give myself to God, that's when he gives himself to you and to me. And it all starts early in the morning, beloved. Hei Lung has these bookmarks. The books are written in Chinese. And I thought, well, if I use my glasses, I could learn how to write all the books of the Bible in Chinese. But all the numbers are in English. Maybe the numbers are the same in Chinese. I don't know. But it's to get you through the Bible once. And you can keep a record of it. Not for the sake of getting through the Bible, but because you know the Bible better. If you spend 15 minutes a day, you get through the Bible in a year. I remember when I was first saved, and I suppose I was a good student in the sense of going to school and understanding things and going to the meeting and Bible studies and understanding things. But I seemed to be growing a lot more than my friends around me. And sometimes they ask, well, how much time do you spend reading the Bible a day? And I sort of bowed my head and mumbled, 15 minutes, maybe. Which means 15 minutes, maybe. Just reading through the daily bread. That's a sad comment on me. There's a sadder comment on all my contemporaries who didn't even spend 15 minutes a day And if I was growing in leaps and bounds with 15 minutes a day, how much more will we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ if we spend more than 15 minutes a day with Him? You know, how much we trust in God is proportional to how much we trust in this book. This is God's word to you and to me. Beloved, that daily time with the Lord and seeking His face and being found by Him is so important. I just wanted to take this time to encourage you. Summer's just around the corner for some of the young people here. You can lay aside mathematics and science, and you can really get into this book. Some of the older folks are going to take some vacations this summer, and you don't have to go to work, and you can really spend some time with the Lord. But even when we are busy, we still need to spend some time with the Lord, beloved. He's no man's debtor. You seek Him, and you'll be found by Him. He loves to be found. You just need to look for Him. If you never look for Him, you'll never be found by Him. But He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, says the writer to the Hebrews. So the Lord bless you. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, we've spent some time thinking about the importance of spending time with You. And it was so important for the Lord Jesus, and it's important for us too. Because I suppose when all is said and when all is done, our goal in life is to be like the Lord Jesus. And the greatest form of flattery is imitation. Paul would even say, be followers of me or be an imitator of me, just like I'm an imitator of the Lord Jesus. And one of our prayers is that we would be imitators of the Lord Jesus so we could say to others, imitate me. And so we just would like to commend these thoughts into Your hands this morning and pray that You would encourage all of us, the preacher included, to spend more time with You. For the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.